You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Here we are for the Beer Tour Guy Show, the very first one. I'm so excited. I'm so excited that I don't even have a beer in front of me.
What's up
with that?
I mean, it is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so.
But you know, I always tell people when they ask me what I do for a living, I always say I'm a professional day drinker. So they just assume that I'm cracking open a ice cold Coors Light like you got right there. But you also got a Diet Coke next to you.
I do. I was struggling a little bit getting here on time. So I went with the first thing I saw in the refrigerator without stealing anybody's prized beers that might be in there. So, yeah, just a Coors Light for right now. You guys can make fun of me all you want. It's still crisp, clean, and easy to drink, especially on a nice day like this.
Well, I don't want to start my show off saying that it's the snobby beer tour guy show, like right out of the gate. I'm only like seconds into the first segment, so that'd be kind of lame, wouldn't it?
I mean, you're placating to whatever crowd you want to placate to. I'm just here for the ride. Thank you for the invite.
Right now, it's probably my wife and my PR girl and maybe my mom. So as long as I don't swear and I say happy anniversary, honey, since it's our anniversary today, 15 years.
Oh, my gosh. And you scheduled your first episode today.
I know.
Hey, honey, by the way, I'm working today.
Yeah. She's like, whatever. I'm working. Have fun. I love you. I'm like, oh, okay. Aww. Great. Bye. Right? Last night before we're going to bed for the night, I'm like, what should I talk about on the show tomorrow? She's like, you better mention that it's our anniversary. I'm like, why? It's a beer tour show. She just starts laughing. Okay. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Steve Johnson. I didn't even say that. I just started talking, saying beer tour guy show or beer. I'll get my name right. Beer tour guy show. If you've been paying attention to the Better on Draft website for, say, the past month or so, I've done about three blogs now talking about Beer Tour Guy and some random writings. So now this is our first show as taking some of the writings and putting that to voice. And I'm going to try to have some fun with it. So I'm excited to see where the show goes. We're going to try to do an hour-long show here, a couple segments. In later episodes, we'll bring other folks in to interview and talk about a bit of my life as a beer tour guide for Motor City Brew Tours, my company, where I do guided bus, bike, and walking tours to breweries. So, okay, Ken, since I got you showing me the ropes today, this is pretty exciting. So I've been on the Better on Draft podcast a couple times now, had a lot of fun. So what just happened today at noon?
Today at noon? Well, I don't know what happened.
There we go. That's exactly the lead-in I needed, right?
What happened today at noon?
Clearly, we haven't rehearsed anything.
Oh, no.
So today at noon, for those of you in beer land, the Great American Beer Festival tickets went on sale.
Ooh.
Yeah, how fun, right? So if you're general public, meaning normal people like us, you were able to buy the tickets today at noon. It sells out pretty fast.
I was going to say, is it already sold out?
It probably is. I didn't check it because, you know, I was driving here to be here on time because I know PM versus AM, unlike some people did today.
Thank you.
But that's all good, right? You gave me a code. I knew how to get in. I knew where the water and beer was and the bathroom and all that good stuff. So, okay, so GABF went on sale today. So I kind of went to the website because I've never gotten to go to GABF. And before we started the show, I was asking you about it, and you said what?
I've never been there, no.
And then you said what?
I don't know.
You said you're going this year.
Oh, we are going this year, yes.
It wasn't a hard question.
No. I don't know. I don't remember what I did yesterday, yeah. Let alone.
See, that's because you're drinking a Coors Light.
Hey.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Hey, it is cold filtered, cold lagered, cold packaged, and the Rockies are still blue, so I know it's still cold.
So at least it's from Colorado. Well, some of them at least are from Colorado.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure this is Colorado.
So talking about GABF and that being in Denver, and it's the largest beer festival and competition. They say in Guinness Book of World Records, it's the most beer on draft anywhere. So when I was looking it up, the stats were pretty staggering on it. 800-plus breweries, 3,500-plus beer options, started in 1982, so it's 36 years in. That's pretty amazing. So you got to be excited to be going out there in October when they actually have it.
Yeah, I'm a little just because I've done all my drinking mostly in the state of Michigan, going to a state like Denver that is a little mile high. I have been to Denver. Okay. I have drank in Denver, and I have gotten drunk quicker in Denver. simply because of the altitude change and everything's a lot different. Now, it didn't really hit me until I like stood up from my seat and I'm like, whoa, what is happening here? But it will be interesting. October should be nice in Denver. You should probably get a lot of sun and a lot of potential snow slash.
Always good weather that time of year.
So I'm excited. I'll be there probably for an entire week. I'm going to go visit some friends while I'm out there. But GABF is obviously the main focus of what I'm doing.
Cool. Yeah, I think my hope is to go next year. I've kind of had it on my list for a while. And I don't want to say it's a downfall of running a beer tour company because everything else about a beer tour company is pretty awesome. But a downfall is that you work pretty much every Saturday if you want to keep the business rolling forward. And you really got to make like long range plans to get out to something as cool as GABF. So it's been on my list for a while. Eventually, I'm going to take the plunge. This year, I got some friends getting married in October. So that's kind of my off weekend in October. But next year, I want to make my off weekend in October, or if it's the end of September, the end of September. I want to make it out there. I want to really stay out there for a bunch of days so that I can see Denver, maybe get into Fort Collins, maybe see Oscar Blues, see all those guys maybe out there. I don't know, a little more epic extra days if possible. I've been saving up my I'm married and nice to my wife credits for a while to see.
Like shouting out her anniversary.
Yeah,
her
totally. Like how she's the best thing that ever happened to me and she should definitely allow me to go to GABF next year. Yeah, that's totally what I'm getting at.
Why don't you take her?
And then that is an option. I'm not going to say that I would not do that. I probably would do that. When I said something like this before, she's like, yeah, I'd love to go to Wisconsin then. And I thought, no, that's a great taste of the Midwest. And she goes, oh, okay.
I'm going to the Great Taste.
So would that be your first time for that too?
That would be my first time for that too.
Wow, a lot of virgin stuff going on.
I know,
in here today.
I know. And I run a beer website and a beer show, and it's hard to really. It's hard to state, you know, hey, I've never been to these things, but yeah, it's crazy for sure to have never gone to any of these. And I like this was my first summer beer fest this year.
Oh my God, I never would have thought to ask you that. Okay.
First summer beer fest this year.
Wow.
I'm trying to think of I have been to the winter one before the show as well as I've been to the fall one a bunch just because it's right across
the
street.
Did you do the UP one before?
Gonna be the first for the UP this year.
You're going up to the UP. Yeah, I'm going up to the UP, although I have done it before, but I'm excited to see it be a lot larger. I went six, 7 years ago before the tour business was really as busy. And it was way smaller.
Are you taking a bus up there? Or?
I am not doing a bus. So I want to be off the clock for the weekend.
Gotcha.
And with my buddy Pat getting married in October, he's kind of coming along for the ride. And we got an Airbnb. So it'll be like three or four of us in the old SUV and going up there. So we'll be staying right down in Marquette. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be bringing a couple of us in a few days before. Try to reach out to some of the brewers out there to get some interviews. That would technically be our 100th episode weekend, but we're postponing the 100th episode to the following weekend for the Better on Draft podcast. So we're going to be excited for that. But stay tuned in regards to that. Listen to Better on Draft, the podcast, to find out more details.
I'm super excited now. So you heard it here first on the Beer Tour Guy show.
Correct.
Right? That makes me feel very privileged. I was pretty interested. Back to the GABF thing. I was reading all their FAQs, and they had a very long list of FAQs for the site there. And I couldn't believe how many no things they had to tell you not to bring in for a beer festival. It always amazes me. I guess it shouldn't amaze me because I'm an event producer and I've put on beer festivals with partners before. And the things people want to bring in or they ask you about or they just assume is no big deal. So
the obviouses are no alcohol, outside alcohol.
Yeah, so no outside alcohol.
No firearms.
So firearms is a big one. In fact, it had a graphic next to that.
That's how important. What is a firearm?
Yeah. Well, no, not what is a firearm. Just like, you know, the clip art that says, if you weren't sure what we meant by firearm, bam.
Gotcha.
Shows a nice little gun there. Let's see. Glass, coolers, skateboards, hoverboard. So it said, please don't bring your hoverboard to the Great American Beer Festival. I thought that was kind of funny. Or drones or balloons. Or
well, they do have those high ceilings. So the drones and balloons – well, drones for sure. Balloons, I mean, I can understand just from working in an event that had higher ceilings and understanding the plight of getting a balloon down.
Oof. Yeah, I guess drones is probably a big one. I've been to multiple summer beer fests with their multiple guild fests where I've seen drones.
Yeah, before. But those are all outdoors, oh, whereas totally. GABF is yeah, indoors. So.
Big time. No fireworks, no air horns, no animals unless it's a service animal. I guess that's some obvious stuff there, no mm-hmm. animals, right? But the big one is if you're a kid under two, you could still come in, but they don't recommend it. And I guess that always begs that question whenever I read that. How many beer festivals have you been to where people brought kids with them?
I definitely think I recall seeing them at World Expo.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I probably have seen them there too.
In regards to the Brewers Guild, I don't think I've seen any at the Brewers Guild. The other festivals have been more nightlife festivals than anything else, like the Royal Oak Beer Festival. So you don't typically see kids up that late, let alone there with the parents. So obviously these are day drinking style events. I could see a lot of people who are just like, you know, hey, we can't find a sitter, but we also spent $100-some-odd on our tickets and we'd like to go. I could see it understandably that, you know, bringing a kid, as long as you're, you know, you're going to be a responsible adult because you have a child right in front of you.
You like to think they would be.
I also think the mob mentality of don't be stupid. And if you're being stupid, somebody might call you out on it and be like, hey, you know, maybe you should cut back on the beer or anything like that. But I doubt you're going to see too many single person with a child people. Like, for instance, you know, if you and your wife had brought a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old, it'd be you and your wife and the 1-year-old, because it would then be, you know, your wife probably at home watching the 1-year-old. You know what I mean? So you're going to have multiple people with this kid. I think it's going to be fine. I don't think there isn't issues. You're not force feeding the kid beer. So I don't think anything wrong. I'm trying to think of any of the other day. Like, this year was my first year for World Expo.
Oh, okay.
So that was another first.
Sorry to hear that.
I love World Expo.
You did you? Yeah. I've had some rough experiences there. We used to bring a bus to it every year.
The karaoke bothered me because they had karaoke there and it was loud and people were singing songs. Like, I can understand pop culture karaoke, like boy bands from the 90s or modern day, like, you know, Justin Bieber. Something that's not like aggressive would be a proper term. But then you have people coming in singing like Megadeth and Iron Maiden. And I'm like, oh, I mean, I like the music, but you're not them and you're not good. And it's just loud.
Now, were you just there walking around, drinking, having fun?
Yeah, we were there. We had our writers there doing the write up. So we were there having fun.
Yeah.
That's what writers are for.
So myself and then Paul Star of I'm a Beer Hound, for multiple years, we've run booths there. The last 2 years, I haven't done it, but he still does it. So the last year, which was the last straw of it, so 2 years ago, I was in the same room with the karaoke. And then the booth next to me was Four Loko. You know what that is?
Yeah, Four Loko. Yeah. Fusion Products.
Yeah, oof. So that was the booth next to me, which meant as more people were drinking that, they were stumbling over to where I am trying to promote my tour company, but they had come up with their cup as they're listening to the Megadeth karaoke, and they're just like, what could I have to drink over here? And then we have a huge banner that says, we take you to beer. So when it gets real loud and when you're in the karaoke-filled beer festivals, you just point – like, you can't start yelling at them anymore. You just point to the banner and see if they – it's actually entertaining at that point to see, do they figure it out or not.
They're wondering how you're – where, what tent you're going to take them to. You're going to take them to beer.
I don't get it.
So this past expo, they actually had kind of a line with all of the production-type companies, so the non-beer companies. So there was a book artist, a few different other people, and they were all in their own little line, like their own little slew. So they weren't smack dab in the middle of all the
breweries. Yeah, that's how they do it different now.
So, yeah, definitely something to look at. What's funny is that you mentioned Fusion Products, Four Loko, and one –
I'm impressed you know it's Fusion Products. I never would have known that.
I may or may not have reached out to them to try to get them to come on our show. But
you are holding Coors Light, so I get it. Okay, it's cool.
Oh, are you kidding? If I got someone from, let's see, 10th and Blake, which would be the Miller Coors version of craft beer companies, I'd invite them. If Coors wants to come onto the show, I'd invite them in a heartbeat. Again, you know, you're laughing and smiling, but as long as somebody is enjoying what they like and what they're drinking, I don't care what you drink as long as you're enjoying it. You know, I don't have to drink what you're drinking. I don't have to force this down your throat.
Well, I will say, of all the light beers, Coors Light is the one that I would drink. And I don't even – I couldn't even tell you why that I arrived at that Something about, I don't know, maybe it's the whole Colorado Rockies thing and that appeal to me that I want to live there someday. So.
Well, to be honest, you've probably been to enough bars where it's been, you know, a happy hour and it's whatever their light beer is. That's the happy hour, Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light. And you've gone through it and you've had all these light beers simply because they were cheap and easy to drink. And at that point, like, you know, I've gone through ebbs and flows where I like Coors Light, I like Miller Light, I like MGD, I like the High Life. And it's just this random ebb and flow of what I like, what I don't like. Coors Light was one of the bowling beers for one of the bowling alleys sure. that I went to, where we used to drink Coors Light by the pitcher, knock the keg out, and then go to Labatt for the same price.
Yeah, there we go.
So
yeah, Blue Light. I used to do Blue Light, maybe Molson here and there.
As much as I think American beer is better than Canadian beer as a general, I do think I like Canadian lagers more than I like American lagers. I would more lean towards your Molson and Labatt before I go to a Miller Coors Bud, especially Budweiser. Ooh, so many bad memories of Budweiser.
Yeah, I never was a Bud drinker. Bud Light, I never really did it.
We used to do $4 pitchers at a bar, so we would drink it because we would double fist pitchers and walk around at the – it wasn't a bar. It was a nightclub.
Although I guess in general I would drink Natty Light, which is still tied to AB InBev, and that would be in college, and you'd get the cheapest kegs ever. We get half barrels of that for the parties we threw all
like
the time.
$40 or $50.
Oh, yeah, totally. Or you'd go to the local little – bar there. I went to Western Michigan in the 90s, and we could get on happy hour $1.50 pitchers of Natural Light. So you do it, right? You just walk in like, I'll have one of those, go sit down or go throw darts, whatever we did back then, right? Yeah, you just drank it. You didn't even think about it.
Well, that's the thing is you're drinking it as if you're drinking a soda. You're not drinking it necessarily to get drunk, or you're not drinking it you're drinking it as some type of carbonated beverage that's what you do when you go to these social events. So, yeah. So Fusion Products, we definitely reached out to them.
We're
too.
Still talking about that?
Yeah. We reached out to them to come onto the show. But in the end, I don't see any difference between Fusion Products and their hyped up Four Loko versus the 1,000 or I think the Summer Beer Fest have had over 100, so over 10% barrel-aged beers for 90-degree weather.
Yeah.
That's
What's
not,
the logic in that?
There is no logic in that. And, I mean, some of them were probably good. Like, I didn't have one, but enough people were having them. But you look at places like Latitude 42 didn't even come with their barrel age. They just come with – I think they just went with Lucifer's Cuvée. So they might have went with the barrel age. It was pouring great when we were pouring for Latitude 42. The other beer is not so much.
Oh, you were pouring at the summer.
Yeah, we were pouring for.
Sorry, I didn't listen to your wrap up show.
That's
I know
okay.
You guys did a wrap up show. Didn't
we
you?
Yeah. We pour for every fest we go to just to kind of do a potential give back to the community, doing our best. Like we're hopefully going to be working with the Brewers Guild and doing something special for the fall event, tied in with the Brewers Guild. But I can't speak much else about that until we get approvals and everything because I don't want to make promises I can't keep.
Oh, look at that.
I'll tell you off air during the break.
More to come, baby.
Yes.
So, okay, we're at festivals. Will you wear pretzel necklaces?
I never wear pretzel necklaces.
Yeah, I don't play around with them either. I did a bus on Friday to the Summer Beer Fest, first time I did it that way. And I had a couple folks making pretzel necklaces on the bus. You know, hey, man, they're working it. That's cool. You know,
I don't mind people that make pretzel necklaces.
Yeah.
I think it's fun, and I think they get there's an entertainment value of how crazy you can get where like somebody will come in with soft pretzel necklaces
oh, yeah.
and it's these giant like soft pretzels. Some will have the jerky, the cheeses. I remember Fall Beer Fest, some guy had like four slices of pizza hanging from his neck, and I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, whatever floats your boat. I'm not one like I'm busy. When I'm at these festivals, I'm networking, socializing, and drinking. So to me, it seems party atmosphere like and not professional, and I need to be at least quasi professional when I'm out there, especially if I'm out pouring or even representing better on draft. I'm not saying it doesn't look it doesn't look professional. Yeah, I'll just say it doesn't look professional. So, trying to be professional when you're at these beer fests, you're out there drinking and having fun. I'm trying to be professional because I have to.
Right. I will say I go out of my way to not have to do as much professional stuff when I'm there, although I am networking the whole time.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, like over the years, I've really kind of gotten into a mode of once I get there with the busload of people I brought there, I want my couple core friends with me and we're bouncing around drinking, talking to brewers owners, talking to previous customers that come up to us. And like that's the fun for us. And by talking more at festivals, it makes me not drink too much. And that's kind of my mode now. Plus, I had to do a bike tour the next morning after that. Yeah, bad call. I made it work. I don't think anyone realized I was hungover. So that was positive.
I heard Friday night was brutal this year.
It was hotter than normal, but it was better than Saturday.
Oh, man, Saturday was rough.
Yeah.
We got in Saturday, so we got in a little bit earlier than the enthusiasts just to – because we had some brewers that we needed to talk to. So we were talking to a lot of these brewers. You know, we were going to meet our sponsors, and we wanted to kind of do it before everyone else came and the crowd came, because obviously I want them to concentrate on their – you know, the people that want to talk to them. So we want to get our major conversations over. So we go say hi to most of the people that we've met throughout the show, go say hi to our sponsors. But that sun just knocked the shit out
rough,
of us.
Yeah, it's rough, isn't it?
Yes.
Like the best thing I did was I come in with a soft side cooler. My buddy I was calling my buddy Cedar my Sherpa because he helped me out on the bus. And then right when I got in, I go, I'll go get us a beer. And he's holding our two bag chairs and like he's got like a soft cooler with them that has like all our food in it. And he goes and plops all that down and then comes back over to me while I'm talking to Joe from Frankenmuth Brewing. And we stood there for a while. But my point is by, say, 6:30, so we got in at 4 with the enthusiast hour. And by 6:30, we had plenty of beer in our system. And the good thing we did was we both had a foot-long sub plus a whole bag of chips. And we just went and sat down and just destroyed that in
seconds. We've never seen that at a beer fest before.
Yeah, you're probably not used to that, are you?
So we're definitely going to be planning something big next year for Better on Draft to have a little fun. We have some ideas in regards to what we want to do for the festival, for the Summer Beer Festival, but yeah, we never thought of bringing a tent and stuff. So there will be a tent, there will be banners, there will be games, there will be prizes for sure.
There you go. Well, then I want to be by that.
Yes,
for sure. So I think next year I didn't do a Saturday. This is the first time I didn't do a Saturday bus in a long time. And part of that was just the way I scheduled that weekend for tours. But I'll probably next year we'll do a Friday and a Saturday. I probably just might have someone else run my Saturday one. And that was fun. So, OK, so enough about Beer Fest here. When we come back from the break, why don't we talk a bit about you and when you started Better on Draft, and your teammates, will say it to sound very professional.
Oh, yeah.
There. What do you think about
it? I talk about being professional at the beer fest, and then you see me on a Friday night, and I'm far from it. Yeah, let's do it.
That's all right, because we're not taping the Friday night show, because we're taping at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday.
O'clock on a Wednesday.
And except for that Coors Light in the room – we got water. I mean, I'm drinking from a water bottle. You also got a Diet Coke there.
I know. I
got
to get some caffeine in me and probably grab another beer.
Wow. So magically, when we come back from the break, it's going to be like totally different. I think I might grab a beer too then because I'm feeling a little too sober. Now I got a beer in front of me. I got – what do I have? Ninja Chicken.
Ninja Chicken from Falling Down. Yep.
From Falling Down Beer Company. What a great sponsor of Podcast Detroit.
Correct.
Look at me.
I refilled my Coors Light.
It does look that way, but it is a 16-ounce Coors Light.
It is.
So.
It's a tall boy. I don't do IPAs, so Ninja Chicken, which I believe is a form of pale ale. I don't know if it's their IPA, but I don't like it. Not for the fact that it's bad. It's just I don't like IPAs.
Okay.
So everybody
– you're the other half because about half the beer market is on the IPA side, and that's all they live for. The other half actually drink beer.
Yes, good beer.
I get it. Yeah, I'm not an IPA drinker, but I drink them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll do
it. It's not your first beer to go to.
No, totally not. Like, my go-tos are, you know,
obviously quadruples at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
Yeah. For those of you that are wondering, as we're looking in the fridge to grab a beer on the break here, the first bottle you pull out is Arbor Bruin's Fig Jam. And I'm like, oh, man, that sounds good. But, wow, I got to, like, do stuff later. So that's not going to work, is it? Yeah, that's a great beer. Funny story about that beer. I'd say it's about 4 years ago, we were doing a brewery bus tour in the Ann Arbor area, and I think we did Wolverine, and I think our third stop was, at that time, it was still called Corner Brewery today, Arbor Microbrewery.
That's the Ipsy one, isn't it?
The Ipsy one, you got it. Yeah. So the larger one. So we're in the larger one, and normally we got the brewer, and they're going to give us a tour, but today, on that day, we had the owners,
That's the Graffs.
The Graffs, yeah. Matt and Renee, sorry.
Yep.
They came out and gave us this really awesome tour. And then at the end of all this, I'm like ready. I got to get people on the bus. We went through like the four beers we were trying. They're like, you know what? Before you guys go, I want you guys to try Fig Jam. And I'm thinking, no, don't do that. Like, I'm never going to get these people to leave here now. Because, you know, when you're doing bus tours, like, there's timing involved. And the bus costs me more if I'm keeping it out longer. Mm-hmm. So not that I don't want to drink Fig Jam, and I'm pretty excited to have the owners, and they gave us a great time. And then they totally, like, bought it for us, which was pretty nice of them.
That's awesome.
So we all got to try Fig Jam. They told really funny stories, none of which I can completely remember, tied around the naming. And that it's the former brewer that's on the graphic. He doesn't brew for him anymore. I don't remember his first name, but really nice guy. So
we had Matt and Renee on the same show. This was back in the Ferndale studios. So this was over a year ago.
Okay.
So we had both of them on, as well as Dan Riley from Axel. And what was great is that I think that weekend it was Arbor FC versus Detroit FC.
Okay.
And those are the sponsors of each of them. Axel sponsors DC.
Oh, that's
FC.
Right. Yeah.
Arbor Brewing sponsors Arbor FC. So they were having a lot of fun, but Matt and Dan go back years. I think they went to the same high school together.
Okay.
So these are people, mind you, Dan, to my knowledge, prior to Axel, wasn't really in the brewing business. So that was before it was Axel, was Milking It, and Dan was not part of Milking It. He was part of Axel.
Right.
So, like, having that and the story and how they were catching up, it was kind of funny just to watch that happen. But, yeah, we had the Graffs on Better on Draft, and they were a great great interview for sure. And they've got Old 22 coming back for the 22nd anniversary. I'm so excited.
That's exciting. That's a beer I like.
That's this weekend, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that is this weekend out at the Ipsy location, I believe.
Oh, I love the Arbor. Yeah. I love the new – have you been to the new Arbor location since they remodeled about a year ago?
I have. Yeah, I was out there around Christmas time frame. I was checking them out, and then I was checking out Ipsy Ale House?
Yes.
That's the other – the newer one in Ypsilanti.
I thought that was the oldest, like, consistent brewery in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Concurrent brewery.
I wish I had my notes in front of me about his background, but we'll leave that for another show.
There you go. You'll leave that for another show.
Yeah, I'll leave that for another one of my shows, in fact. I'm going to make a tour out that way, probably Q1 of 2018. So as I get closer to that, I'll do a little more research. We'll do a whole show talking about that whole
– you know, you're talking about these tours. Where can they go to get these tours at?
So where can you go?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
drop that real
quick. You could definitely link it from Better on Draft if you click on the Beer Tour Guy podcast and or blog page. You could get a little bit of my bio. Or you just go to MotorCityBrewTours.com, or you go to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter and just type in Motor City Brew Tours, and you can learn more about what I'm doing.
There you go.
Yeah, most definitely, right? Should always plug what you're doing. But I don't want the whole show to be about that because I got you on this show.
That's true, but some people don't listen. You know,
some people don't listen.
No. So being in the podcast industry, so a little bit about me since we're interviewing me.
It sounds like you're interviewing
I'm interviewing
when
you.
We do it that way because I didn't even ask a question about
all right,
you
let's go. We'll do call and response then. I'll just sit here.
But that's the difference between when you're interviewing someone who's a host of a show and they're used to kind of running their gig. They just want to start talking, right? So you have to have like some skill sets to be able to pull that back in. And sometimes I'm good at it and sometimes I'm not.
Well, you got me to shut up. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just keep ripping on Coors Light for a while and I'll make it work, right? But okay. So Better on Draft. Okay.
Yes.
So you guys just surpassed that 90 episode mark a few weeks back. Now you're a few past that. Okay. So when was the first show?
So the first Better on Draft was over 2 years ago. We were talking – so I had sold my old podcasting website, which was named Radio Influence, sold that to a company out in Florida, which was more MMA-specific, MMA-heavy. They wanted to take control of it, so I gave it to them. And I got the itch to start podcasting again. So I called a buddy of mine who was also a beer drinker, and we decided to make a show. The problem was is that we were actually drinking on Wednesday afternoons at 1 o'clock as opposed to having a consistent show. So we were doing the recordings. We were getting drunk. Like our very first episode, we actually had Eric Smith on as well as Jen from – who is the sommelier of Nino Salvaggio's for a while. She's not the sommelier there anymore. So that was our very first show. So that was me and my buddy Brown. So after like three or four shows, we had a fun episode where we tried to see if we can distinguish the taste between a 4-day-old bottle of Two Hearted and a 4-week-old bottle of Two Hearted. And we couldn't. There was six of us that tried. None of us could do it. So we had a little fun, but we realized like our scheduling was too conflicting. So fast forward, go to a wrestling show. Yes, a wrestling show. And I run into the owners of Podcast Detroit. And me and two buddies of mine, Nick and Dan, who are Nick is a host. Dan was a host. Still shows up every once in a while. So they're like, hey, you want to do your Friday night show? So we used to have a Friday night show even before Better on Draft called 40 Ounce Fridays.
Ah.
So we talked beer, wrestling, MMA, and we were sick of talking like wrestling, MMA, like that kind of stuff. It's exhausting to follow that news.
So if you only had one option for a 40 ounce, what would it have to be for you?
For me, one option for a 40 ounce, I'd probably go for a Coors Light or a Labatt.
Really?
I'd go for something mainstream. I wouldn't go for your standard OE or Milwaukee's.
You're not
best
on the malt liquor side, huh?
No, not really. It's not my style of beer. Even if it's given to me, it's not something that I typically drink. I still haven't had like DKML. I didn't like German Hobo that much, but like some people like Dan, who's a big malt liquor drinker, he will drink those and he enjoyed it. Like he had DKML, he had German Hobo, and he loves these variety 40 ounces. So even when we did our 40th episode and we were drinking 40s, I still couldn't. It was rough.
You know what mine's going to be? It's Mickey's.
Mickey's.
Yeah. So when I was in college and I was still into skateboarding, I skateboarded mostly through my college years. And I'd skated with locals when I lived in Kalamazoo there. So that was our drink of choice was 40s. And it was either Old English or sometimes St. Ides, but definitely Mickey's, man. Something about the green bottle and the brown bag. I don't know, the color choice. I don't know, with my eyes or something. But I really like the taste of that. To this day, I could still pop open a Mickey's and I'd probably be in my element all right.
There you go. So we decided to redo our entire format, though. So we're like, hey, let's talk all this beer. And boom, very first episode we got in here, we had Eric Brigeman.
Wow.
So obviously, yeah.
Brewer's Guild, he knows a little bit about drinking 40s.
He does. I believe he was there for our 40th episode, drinking 40s with us.
I would expect nothing less.
So he, president of the Brewer's Guild, brewer at Rochester Mills, great guy, still a big supporter of our show. And we appreciate it. And since then, our show's gone through a few iterations. We've added different new hosts. We've got Angela, Rob, and Matt. And then Dan moved to Arizona, which is why he's no longer technically a host. So it's kind of hard to host from Arizona. But with those three, we've kind of structured our show. So if you listen to like the first show and the 94th show, completely different shows.
Okay.
So it's great.
Are you excited then? Yeah. So you're saying it's great. Are you excited for where it's gone?
I love it. I love coming out every Friday night to meet new people. You know, that was my favorite thing at the Summer Beer Fest was talking to all these people that I've got to meet in the past year and a half.
Sure.
Because it's not, you know, hey, nice to meet you. You're the head brewer. Now you're going to go back to work and I'm going to continue drinking it. No, I spent, you know, 3+ hours with these people between pre-show, during show, after show. Sometimes we went to a bar after the show. So you get to know them. You get to know their story. You get to know their history. So meeting these people, it's almost like seeing a friend again that you haven't seen in a year. So catching up with them, and sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I'm talking too much and I need to go, you know, talk to a few other people and I don't want to cut this short. So, but seeing all the salespeople, all the brewers, all the managers, all the owners, you know, we get so many different aspects when we interview these people. Like, we don't just interview brewers or we don't just interview salespeople. Like, you know, we've had Jamex, who is the this was episode 94 recently. They are the brewer, the owner, sales, everything. They do everything. But then we've also had Griffin Claw, where we only had Kyle Vandevenner on, which is the sales guy for
I know
area,
Kyle
for Griffin Claw. Same with Kevin DeVries over at Founders. So having these different people, we're getting so many different aspects of our show, which is, I think, why our show is continuously different, because you're not hearing, oh, how'd you get into brewing? No, it's, oh, how'd you get into sales at Founders? Oh, what'd you do before? And you get to hear stories. A lot of them worked in distribution. A lot of them worked for Powers, Imperial, Rave, JP O'Sullivan. So they've worked for all these other companies to where they – they have all these stories of where they got, how they got. You know, you look at the current East Side manager for Outside Ales, you got Wes O'Leary. You know, Wes started as being this huge craft beer guy who promoted craft beer at B-Dubs. And he was getting people and huge beers at B-Dubs. And people were coming to drink. And then he got poached to go work at a liquor store and then poached to go work at Oddside Ales.
That sounds weird to say I got poached to go work at a liquor store. But nowadays, there's opportunity.
Well, when you're the kind of liquor store he was looking at, that was a very upscale market over in, I believe, Farmington or Novi, that area.
Okay.
So it was like this huge liquor, wine, beer, deli, you know, kind of like a market style liquor store too. Kind of like a holiday market, but a lot smaller. So, but I mean, if you go work at Holiday Market, that's a huge marketplace. That's just not,
oh, definitely.
You know, just like if you want to go look, if you worked at Zatuna Liquor, 8 Degrees Plato, you know, those are huge liquor stores, not, you know, I always call it Ed's Beer Barrel. That's aging myself a little bit in the city of Troy.
But, Ed's Beer Barrel.
I think it's called like Lucky Star or Lucky Shoe or something. It's on John R. between 18 and 17.
Oh, I don't know that.
It used to be Ed's Beer Barrel, and that was like my dad's liquor store, the corner store where he got his pint of Doers, and I would get, like, you know, he would buy me scratch offs. And yeah, those were the days.
Those are good times.
Those were. I enjoyed not having to spend my own money on lottery and collecting the winnings.
Okay, that seems like a good deal. We would all like that benefit.
I'm sure we would.
So okay, so of all these shows, are there a few favorites that really stand out where, like, you got to the end, you're like, wow, that really came off like well, like the way I liked it. Not that all shows aren't great, but are there a few? I don't want to say one because that's like the typical question, but like, are there a few?
The Brewery Becker episode with the Brewgiver.
Brewgiver.
Yeah, Brewgiver. Very, very well known to a lot of the people who opened up breweries in the 90s and 2000s. I think he had his hand in helping out opening 70 to 80 breweries.
Okay.
In regards to getting the hardware, getting the setup, showing them what to do to go from obviously home, for most of these people, home brewing to major brewing. So that was a great episode. We actually did an extension on that. The Zatuna Liquor episode with Jack. Jack's got so many stories that it's hard to shut him up. But it's not like it's not like you're droning on because it's always interesting. So that was good. The new Old Nation one post M43, because we had him on right when M43 just got brewed.
In fact, when I was on your show last time, we were talking about that, about how you had him on prior.
And
I was drinking
post.
Boss Tweed. Huh.
Yes. So we had him on prior and post. So that was a good one. My favorite is always going to most likely be the Kevin DeVries first episode with we actually had craft beer candles there that we
craft
were
craft beer candles.
Yeah, that we were.
Tell me about craft beer candles. I think I'm intrigued now it's my anniversary today, and it seems like I should be lighting candles at some point.
So it was this company out of Missouri, very good friends of the show, had sent us some craft beer candles to review. So they brought us a flight of craft beer candles, and it came on a wooden paddle. There was three candles on it, and we got to smell. One was like a espresso stout, one was a brown ale, one was a piney IPA. So they had these beers, and they got them to smell just like the beers that they were duplicating. So, and they were getting like Boulevard, I believe they had on. I think they had New Belgium, a couple major brewers who were giving them product to try to get that smell right, so that if you open it up and you smelled it, it smelled just like their beer. And in turn, they got their name on the candle.
Clever.
So, yeah.
I want a Motor City Brew Tour scented candle. I wonder what that would smell like. What about a Better on Draft candle? Ooh, we might not want that, would we?
I don't know about that. It smelled like a brown ale, because it'd be my decision.
It'd be your decision? Well, yeah. Clearly, right? You're the top dog because you're training me here today.
So we had Kevin DeVries on from Founders. He brought us a slew of things, and it wasn't – we did have a Founders episode where Kevin popped open a bottle of KBS, and we mixed it with Milwaukee's Best.
Wow.
So that wasn't that episode, but the Founders one with Kevin was really, really good.
Okay.
So definitely those are probably some of my favorite episodes. Those are the ones that I tell people to like listen to first. Our episodes are not – are an anthology. There's no – continuous, there's no chronological.
Sure.
So go listen to whatever, you know, brewery company that you want to listen to. You don't have to necessarily listen from first to last, especially because our first few episodes were a little rough,
as they all should be. Now that I've been doing some other podcasting on the side, with the Two Beers In show, another show I do with Paul Starr of I'm a Beer Hound. And I couldn't even really listen to the first couple episodes, honestly.
I listened to the first few episodes.
And I did to learn things. But now that I've now we've done about 6 or 7 episodes and we're starting to get in our groove a little bit on that. And then that's totally my hope, obviously, for the show I'm doing here with you guys, the Beer Tour Guy show. I'm excited to see where it goes. So saying all that, what would be some of your advice for someone that's new getting into podcasting? You know, what's some advice you'd give?
Relax.
Relax.
That's all you have to do.
Hopefully I look somewhat relaxed.
Oh, you look relaxed.
I put on a collared shirt today, so that was a big move.
I mean, in regards to podcasting, I've never had an issue talking in front of a crowd. Once I turned like 15, 16, I used to work at Laser Quest. So,
ooh, okay.
You know, I used to be the Laser Quest tour guy because I would take them in and teach them how to play and then make sure they're okay and guide them out. So talking in front of a crowd, whether they're old or younger, never had an issue with that. But now it's more, you know, create a process of what people want to listen to, you know, not necessarily like, you know, the question is, do you want to listen to it?
Right.
And if it's something you want to listen to, then you'll talk passionately about it. As much as I never listen to my own shows when I'm not there, I listen to every show that I'm not there. It's only been like 3 or 4. But I'll listen to the show and I'll talk about it because usually they're also insulting me while I'm not there. So it's always fun. Like,
I sure hope so. It's a drinking show on Friday.
Yeah, we had Dragon Meat on one episode and they brought Castle Bright, which is one of my favorite beers. And
apricot
ale.
Yeah, that's a really good beer.
And they brought it and I didn't get it. They knew it. And it was the same with when we had Oddside on last year with Josh Gordon, and he brought in, I think, Batch 2 of Mocha Munt and a few other of their Barrel Age series. So we got to have like the pre-sale batches of beers and everyone's just like, oh yeah, we had this, didn't you? Oh wait, you weren't there. I'm like, oh, you guys suck.
Yeah, that is kind of mean.
Yeah, but I'm going to be missing a few episodes these coming months because I'm going to be gone for Taste of the Midwest. I'm going to be gone for GABF, which I think we might just take that weekend off. I'm trying to get more of us to go to GABF, but it's hard to schedule because everyone's got their own day jobs. This is a hobby for us. Treat this as if it's your golf outing, your Friday night bowling, your, you know, dart league or pool league or trivia night or something like that. You know, this is your time. As much as it's work and it's, you know, if you start to make it as a job, then it stops being fun. And I think like halfway through Better on Draft, I started like making it a job and it stopped being fun. And I've kind of honed myself back and I'm like, this is fun. This is what it's meant to be. It's meant to talk to people. I love talking to people.
Well, I'd say that's some pretty good advice. I appreciate that. And I would say I've learned the same lessons of 8 years of running a beer tour company. And when we first got started, we were just drinking and we were so happy that anyone showed up to come on a tour that it was just like, oh, this is great. I can't believe we're doing this. I'm sort of getting paid to do this. And then I'd say a couple years in, I started making it a bit into too much of a job. And I stopped making it really about why we started, which is going to breweries. And eventually I kind of came back to that and realized, all right, well, what's the right balance for that? And that's what everybody has to figure out when we're all balancing different parts of life. In my case, I run Motor City Brew Tours full time now. So I want to balance my personal life around that, the 24/7 of messaging that you have to do if you run your own small business. And what I've gotten back to is what the show I want to be about, which is having fun going to new breweries and talking about it with people. And that's really what I want it to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be the owner, the brewer, whatever. I'm going to hopefully bring some interesting people onto the show over the course of a couple times a month here. And we're going to kind of take it from there. So I'm excited to see where the show goes. Beer Tour Guy show. I want everyone to start listening to this. I'm going to be twice a month. You can catch us through the Better on Draft website, obviously through Podcast Detroit, obviously on my website, MotorCityBrewTours.com. All this stuff will be posted on all our social properties. And I hope you guys can stay tuned and enjoy what we're talking about here.